You may be wondering why that happened. Just bear with me. Bear with me. Okay, the topic that I'm moving in on tonight is God's covenant with Israel. And I wanted to go back and do a bit of a review. You may wonder why I got Max to play that piece of music, a very old piece of music. I was going to say, does anybody know what it actually is called? It's actually a theme from a movie that was made in 1960. Sorry, I need to sling off at people. It's a piece of music that I really love because I learned to play it when I was when I was learning the piano as a child. And it was just interesting because when Tim was actually doing his presentation last Sunday, he made some comments about how amazing God's miracles were in leading the people out of Egypt. The movie, the Exodus movie that was made in the 60s, was not actually about that particular situation. It was sort of made about people, Jews coming out of Europe, occupied Europe at the time, and they were actually caught up on this boat and stuck on this boat in a harbour in Cyprus somewhere. I don't know whether it's true or whether it's not or whether it's fictitious. But this guy is the guy who wrote the music, Ernest Gold. And he left Europe in Austria where he was born because he could see this impending situation coming with Hitler going to make things difficult. But the interesting bit is at the end there. I actually was reading an interview or some stuff that he had talked about to someone along the way in the past. And he said, I wrote this music, I wanted to make this big and grand, like God's miracles are grand, because I wanted to glorify him. And that to me was what I really enjoyed. You could just really belt this out on a piano when I was a child. And so that's the reason I actually did this. But I want to sort of go back and do that review though with what Tim was talking about last week. He was talking about, and this guy actually was saying, that it was like the people of Israel going through this tunnel, you know, with the waters parted either side. And he said it must have been like this huge walls of water. And I can't imagine it. As a Christian nowadays, when I read things in Scripture, I try and take myself out of the situation I'm in and I try and put myself in that situation. I'm thinking, what would it have been like having all these Egyptians wanting to come and kill me? And I'm taking off through, looking at this sea dead ahead in front of me, and then God suddenly parts the waters and there's walls of water hundreds of feet high and you're walking through on dry ground. How amazing would that be? Be amazing. So that was where I wanted to go for a start. Okay, review. God led the Israelites out of Egypt. God's miracles were awesome. In order that would happen, he actually got to the got to Pharaoh, the Egyptians, pretty heavily. And the interesting thing was that in Exodus 14, verses 26 to 31, I hope I've got enough time to read all these, it says this. I'll read just 29, I think it is. It says, but the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground. There was a wall of water on their right side and on their left. That day the Lord saved Israel from the power of Egypt. Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. The Israelites saw the great power of the Lord, the great power the Lord showed against the Egyptians. So they had respect for the Lord. I want you to remember that. They put their trust in him and in his servant Moses. And then you go into Exodus chapter 15, and I'm sure if the children were here and listening to this, they would remember this. I'll start part way through. I will sing to the Lord. He is greatly honoured. He has thrown Pharaoh's horses and rides into the sea. Does anybody remember a song that the children sing? Isn't that amazing? So, these people are high on God. They get to the other side of the Red Sea, and this is their attitude, and they're just really trusting in God. Now, I want to just make a quick comment before I go too much further. God's covenant with Israel is about love, about his love for them and ultimately for us, because we're his children, just as they are his children. It's about love. He loves them so much, and he loves you and me that much, that he does exactly what he's about to talk about, what I'm going to talk about. I want to start at the end before I get there, if you like. God's covenant with Israel is pretty much quoted in this passage here. It says, exactly 3 months after the people of Israel left Egypt, they came to the desert of Sinai. After they started out from Rephidim, I think it is, they entered the desert of Sinai. They camped there in the desert in front of the mountain. Then Moses went up to God. The Lord called out to him from the mountain. He said, here is what I want you to say to my people who came from Jacob's family. Tell the Israelites, you have seen for yourselves what I did in Egypt. You saw how I carried you on the wings of eagles and brought you to myself. Now obey me completely. Keep my covenant. If you do, then out of all the nations, you'll be my special treasure. The whole earth is mine, but you will be a kingdom of priests to serve me. You will be my holy nation. That is what you must tell the Israelites. So Moses went back. He sent for the elders of the people. He explained to them everything the Lord had commanded him to say. All of the people answered together. They said, we will do everything the Lord has said. So Moses brought back their answer to the Lord. Interesting. That's the end point. It's interesting getting there. Okay, so Moses, directed by God, led the people into the desert of whatever. But it only took them 3 days. Only 3 days to start grumbling. Only 3 days. About a lack of water. I'm not going to read that because it will take too long. What actually happened is they complained to God. Now, I don't know if you've ever tried to go without water for 3 days. They say that 5 days is about the maximum before you die. So at 3 days, the people would have been going, this is not very good. But all they could do, all they did was grumble to God. That was the best thing that they could come up with. And do you reckon that was an appropriate response? So how should we come to God? How should we do that when things that are not going the way we want them in our lives, do we go to God and have a bit of a grumble and hope that he's going to do something? He wants us to submit to him. He loves us. He's not going to put all these people, take them through the Red Sea, all the way to the other side, let them go off in the desert for 3 days so that they die at the end of it. Is he? So what did God do? God performed yet another miracle for them. These people, I would say to you, have short memories. That fair enough after 3 days? I mean, you imagine going through this, you know, I would remember that for a lifetime. They've got short memories that this God is there for them. I want to read you something off. This is the sheet that Don gave us. Just want to read you very quickly this. Suppose it was your birthday and your parents surprised you with a big party. They invited all your family and friends, served your favourite foods, played your favourite games, gave you a terrific present, and told you how much they loved you. Would you wake up the next day and wonder if they would forget to take care of you and feed you? Would you wonder if they loved you? I don't think so. I think the appropriate response was not there, and that was the problem. So, I want to digress very quickly for a minute. We don't have, as Christians, I believe, sorry, no, I shouldn't, that sounds like it's aimed at you, it's aimed at me. I don't have a sense of history as a Christian. God has a starting point and an end point. He started it before creation, and he's got an end point when he sends his son back in Revelation. And you see these patterns through scripture. And in order for me not to repeat those things and go back and do those things, I need to have a sense of history. What's come before me? Where am I going? And I think it's really important. It's one of the things I used to, that really used to get into my head when I read the book of Acts, because I could see God building the church from Christ's death right up to the church being built. And so we have short memories. Tell me, just imagine for a minute, or think about the things that God did in the last 12 months in your life. How often do you recall them? How often are you triggered by those things and God says, I've done this for you? This is what he was doing for the children of Israel, a bit more frequently than that. So how often do we acknowledge his workmanship or work in our lives and come to him in that way? I want to just digress a bit really quickly. Who's this guy? Kevin O'Sullivan. Sorry? Kevin O'Sullivan. That's exactly what I thought. And this person?
Julia Gillard.
Some time ago, Kevin was not going too well in the polls. Correct? So what happened?
They decided to...
I'm not trying to be political here, by the way, in any way. So what happened? Julia became Prime Minister. Then Julia's popularity has gone downhill. The polls are saying now we want Kevin Rudd back as our Prime Minister. The problem is people have forgotten why it was that they were unhappy with him in the first place. And memories are really short. We haven't got this ability to think back through history. We just want to go back and repeatedly do the same things over and over again. And you see in the Old Testament, God does these miracles, people come to him, and then they just fade away. And then all of a sudden they're desperate for him again. They need him. You know, the water and the food, the manna that he sent down from heaven. And so they've got this cyclic behaviour going on. Okay, things that I want to probably note. I'm running out of time, sorry guys. Jeremiah 31, verse 1 says this. At that time I will be the God of all the tribes of Israel, announces the Lord, and they will be my people. We are his people. Malachi chapter 1, verse 2. God says, Israel, I have loved you, says the Lord. But I've left the next bit of that verse in for a reason. But you ask, how have you loved us? They don't recognise his love. Now, they're questioning God and saying, well, we've got no evidence of you loving us. They're questioning his truthfulness. Don talked about that right back at the start with the first things that he talked about at the start of the year when Satan was sort of questioning God's truthfulness. It keeps arriving all the way through the Old Testament. Jeremiah 31:3 says, the Lord appeared to us in the past. He said, I have loved you with a love that lasts forever. I have kept on loving you with faithful love. So, was God about to let them die? No, he wasn't going to let them die. They're his chosen people. God could have gotten anybody, any group of people, and he could have said, yeah, you'll be my chosen people, but he chose the Jews, chose the Israelites. And he says, I have loved you, and he continues to love them all the way through while they're doing, you know, spending 40 years in the desert. That last comment I want to expand upon because it's really important to me. Do you reckon God was getting tired of their grumbling? I think he probably might have been. Now, I've mentioned this before. God made us in his image, did he not? Do we love? Does God love? Does God get angry? Yep. Is God a jealous God? Yep. All these things are some sorts of attributes that we, or thing, characteristics of us. So when these people are grumbling and complaining, do you think that might have caused God a bit of pain? It certainly would cause me pain if all I could get back from people who I was giving so much to, all of what he was doing, if all I was getting back was, you know, this grumbling and arguing, quarrelling and questioning me as to what it is that I'm doing for them. They clearly didn't understand. So it's painful for God, I believe. And I believe it's painful for this reason. If you take yourself into a situation where I love my wife, I'll use that as an example, sorry, Helen. And if I didn't get love in return and I just kept pouring out my love on her and there was nothing back, would that not become a little bit painful after a while? Wouldn't it? It had just destroyed that love. But God's love's unconditional, and in his covenant is about love because he's loving them anyhow, no matter what they do. And all he's asking them to do, and I won't go into that, all he's asking them to do is this. What's on offer here? What's God offering these people? He's offering a lot of stuff. And it was in that first passage in chapter 19. You'll be my special treasure. So we're special to him. They were special to him. The whole earth is mine, and because you are my children, it's yours too. You'll be a kingdom of priests to serve me. Ever thought of yourself as being a priest? The line of Levi. You'll be my holy nation. It's a promise. And God is not going to break that covenant. That's a promise that he's made. So what does he require from us? To obey him. It's really tough, isn't it? To obey God. And to keep his covenant. Just before I finish, just as a finishing note, can I ask you this question? Why do you think God let them wander around the desert for 40 years?
Just to get rid of the generation, I reckon. See the kids up and didn't know
He was trying to teach them to obey him, to do what he wanted them to do. If they'd actually healed straight off, I wouldn't have been wandering around for 40 years. They had to learn to obey him. And I want to put a challenge in front of you tonight, which might seem a bit weird, but I'll try and explain it the best I can. They were wandering around the desert, right? That's a desert. How'd you like to be wandering around there? You'd have to depend on God as a Christian. You'd have to depend on him for the things that you need. Well, yeah, they were. They ended up in the same place I started, didn't they? I like that. However, this might seem a bit weird. Do you reckon that's possibly a desert as well? Because we're out in the world and we need God. In that environment, in that situation, when we're out there, we need him as much as they needed him in the desert. So I want to leave you with that thought. When you go out into the world, you need God, and you need to be able to do those things, to listen to him, to obey him. It's not about making rules and regulations, it's about listening to him and doing what he asks of you. Thanks, guys.
See that time with our Sam put that song going round circles.